Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, How Far Are We From Jesus' Second Coming?
God's grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our coming King. Amen. I'd like to start a sermon series with you today, for the next 4 weeks, on the words, how far? And today I'd like to look with you at this question, how far are we away from Jesus' second coming? How far are we away from the return of the King, of Christ? How far are we in the history of the world toward the last days and the last time before our Lord returns? How far away are we away from Christ's kingdom coming visibly to this earth and the eternal inheritance? How far are we away from Jesus' second coming? Let's take a look at that today and see what God can teach us by His word for our encouragement in the faith in Christ. All right, so the first question is, that I have for you on this one is, why is this an important question for us to ask about the return of Christ, that when where we are in the history of the world, and how far are we away from Christ's second coming? Well, the answer is because we want to be found alert and awake in the faith in Christ when Jesus the King comes back. Amen? Amen. We don't want to be found asleep. We don't want to be found drifting away from Him. We don't want to be found in sin and unbelief and not ready. But rather, we want to be found ready for Him to go with Him at once when He returns on the clouds of heaven at His return. And look at the great blessings that Jesus promises us here concerning that. And like Luke 12, He says, blessed are those servants whom the Master finds awake when He comes. Truly I say to you, He will gird Himself and have them sit at table, and He'll come and serve them. That's a good one, isn't it? How about Matthew 24, verse 46, Jesus says, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. So, we want to be ready, right? So let's say the word ready.
Ready.
We'll be watching for him at his return. Hebrews 9 says, just as this is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ will return a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So we want to be found amongst those who are eagerly waiting for him when he comes. When he comes like lightning on the last day. So we want to be ready. And Jesus also tells us, and the scriptures tell us, that we need to pay especially careful attention to his return in the last days of the world, because we're going to be surrounded, for the most part, by a world of unbelievers who are not looking for his coming, who are not ready, who are found asleep in sin and unbelief, and who will be caught unawares by that day when he comes like a thief in the night. They'll come and catch them by surprise, and it will not go well with them. Jesus says, when he comes, you've got to be ready so that you can enter at once when I return, because it's only those who are ready who will enter at once. The others, not being ready, will hope to get ready quickly at the end when they see him coming, but it'll be too late at that time to repent or to believe, and they'll begin to stand outside at the door and knock at the door, open to us, but the door has been shut, and they will gain no access into the kingdom, the world to come, the eternal glory, but only into darkness they'll be cast. Let's take a look at Matthew 25. Jesus tells a parable to the effect that we ought always be ready for the return of the King. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they had no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept, but at midnight there was the cry, behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those maidens rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "Perhaps there will not be enough for us and for you. Go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, trying to get ready at the last minute, that is, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast. Say the word ready.
Ready.
You gotta be ready to enter at that moment, because he's coming quickly. And you gotta enter quickly, you gotta be ready to do it. Because we read, the door then was shut. It's closed. Afterward, a little time later, the other maidens came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us too." But he replied, "Truly I say to you, I don't know you." Watch therefore, Jesus said. Be alert, in other words, be awake, for you do not know the day or the hour. So, we need to be ready, because we're living in a world where people are not ready, they're not thinking about Christ's return, and they're not going to be found entering, but only those who are ready will enter on that day. And Peter forewarned us about not being caught up with the world, even if it's 2,000 years since Christ has been here, and people are like, it's a fable, it's a myth, it's not real, it's a joke. Christ is not really coming again because it's been 2,000 years. I haven't seen him come yet, so obviously it must not be real or true, otherwise it would have already come. And they're going to be caught unawares. Peter says, don't get caught up in that kind of foolish thinking. Why? He says, scoffers are going to come in the last days with scoffing, following their own passions, saying, where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as it were, from the beginning of creation. He says, there's going to be people towards the end of time. We're going to say, it's been 2,000 years. Obviously, he's not coming back. You Christians are foolish. Peter says, don't go with them, because they're deliberately ignoring a fact. What fact? He says, this is the fact that by the word of God, the heavens existed long ago, and an earth was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by that same word, the heavens and earth that now exist have been stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. So, how do we know that Christ is coming again, friends? That Jesus the King will return? Well, he created the world by his word, he destroyed the first world by his word, and he's going to destroy this present world by his same word. It's the same situation. Again, in the Old Testament, we had prophesied pointing forward to his coming. It was a long delay, a long time, but he came the first time. And in the same way we have words now, even if there's a long delay, he's going to come the second time. It's no different. He came the first time successfully. He's coming the second time too. On the clouds of heaven is a fact of the history of the world. The King is coming. Jesus will return. And we know this also because of the numerous declarations, clear as day in Scripture, that Jesus will come back. And there are too many to number here. I'll just give you one, okay? Mark 14:61. The high priest said to Jesus at his trial, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus says, "I am. And henceforth you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." Is Jesus coming again? Say amen.
Amen.
He is returning to this earth on a day soon to come, unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. And we don't want to be caught unawares, but ready to enter with him at once when he comes. Okay. So the next question I'm going to look with you at is, but when is all this going to happen? That's the real point for the day. How far are we away from Jesus' second coming? When is he coming to judge the world? To avenge himself on evil angels and men and to exalt the righteous and give us the kingdom? When is all this going to happen? That's the question for today. Well, let's consider. Are we living in the last days? Are we in the last generation? What do you say? You interact with me here. Yes or no?
Yes.
You're right, because the last days, according to Scripture, is ever since he came to now, 1 John 2, John the Apostle says, "Children, it is the last hour." And as you've heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come, therefore we know that it is the last hour. So we're living in the last days. In many and various ways, Hebrews 1 says, God spoke of old to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by a son. Last days. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10 says, upon us the end of the ages has come. And Peter says in 1 Peter 1, Jesus was destined before the foundation of the world, but made manifest at the end of the times for your sake. So we're living in the last days. So if this is a timeline, let's say beginning of the world to Christ's return over there, are we in the beginning, the middle, or the end? We're in the end times, the last days before return, Christ's return. Scriptures are clear on that one. But can we know exactly where we are on this timeline towards Christ's coming? We're asking, when is, how far are we away from Jesus' second coming? Can you know it exactly? No. No, you can't know it exactly. Why, Lauren? He tells us that. Yes. Mark 13, verse 32, Jesus says, but of that day and of that hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. And he says, take heed therefore and watch, for you do not know when the time will come. So we can't know the exact place we are. We don't know the precise date and time when Christ will return. He's coming like a thief in the night. So we must all be ready at a moment's notice and watching. Amen? Amen? But can we know generally, though, our approximate location towards our great destination, the return of Christ and the coming kingdom? Can we know generally the approximate time, even more precisely than just the last days when Christ is coming?
Yes.
Yes, good one, Art. You're right. We can know the general time, and how can we know the general time, the approximate location where we are, in relation to our destination in Christ's return? By the signs which he told us to look for. Now, when I was a little boy, 4, 5, 6, I'm still kind of a little boy, but whatever. We went from Connecticut, where we lived, to Cape Cod, where we had a house, all the time throughout the year for vacation. 4, 5, 6 years old, I didn't know exactly how long it was to get there. I didn't know. I couldn't tell you precisely, but I could tell you generally where we were. You know how? By the signs that were along the way. So what was the first sign going from Connecticut to Cape Cod, 4-hour trip? After about 2 hours, just a little before that, we passed Mystic Seaport. Y'all been there? Mystic Seaport is awesome. I looked for the masts of the tall ships at Mystic Seaport. And I always have my mom wake me up, because even then I love tall ships. Mom, wake me up for that. And I go, oh, I love these ships. So I knew we were almost halfway. The next thing we would see along the way was a couple exits later, exit 92, Howard Johnson's. How many of you know Howard Johnson's? You're laughing. I know you're a senior congregation because this is, it don't exist anymore. Can you believe I still have this little toy from the train set? Howard Johnson's. We always stop at Howard Johnson's, which is the halfway point. We get dinner and ice cream. I loved it. So I knew we were halfway. There was a sign that told me I'm about halfway.
Oh my goodness.
Don't know exactly, but I know pretty much halfway. Then from there, we would drive on into the night, because it was getting into the evening. What was the next thing I came to on that trip? Was Providence, Rhode Island. You ever been there? There's a building there with a flag on top of it. I'd always see the flag. It's usually lit up at night. And I salute it with my hand over my heart because I'm a patriot. So I looked for Providence, Rhode Island, and the flag. It was the next sign I was looking for. What was next? Well, then I'd come to New Bedford Whaling Museum. Where are you, Linda? We were talking about that yesterday. New Bedford Whaling Museum sign. So I looked for the big picture of the whale on the billboard. I thought, oh, now we're getting closer. We're getting closer to our destination. There's the next sign. And follow me, this is just the way it goes, all right? You gotta listen here. The next thing I come to is Battleship Massachusetts and Fall River. Have you seen that one? Actual battleship from World War II. And so that one, you could actually see the whole battleship, and at night even, driving over the bridge, the top of the radar was lit up, so I always looked to see that Battleship Massachusetts, Fall River. Then we went on. And I knew I was getting close then because I'd start seeing signs for Cape Cod and the islands on some of the places on the highway. Then next we would come to Buzzards Bay. I got a seagull here. But Buzzards Bay is right before you get onto Cape Cod and the Sagamore Bridge. So let's put those on here next. This is the next sign. Now I know I'm getting really close to joy, and vacation land. The next thing I come across, we're on the Mid-Cape Highway. And when it eventually saw exit 11, I knew we were getting super, super close because we lived at a house in Chatham. When the road went from 4 lanes down to 2, boy, I'm getting excited now. I'm almost there. Dad driving the car. And then what do I come to? Almost lastly, right next to our house, about a half a mile or so away, was Fleming's Restaurant. Went there all the time growing up. And then turning into Cockle Cove Beach area, there was a sign with a lighthouse on it. When I saw that sign, I'm like, man, I am so excited now. We've just about arrived. And where were we going to? Da-da-da-da! To the final destination! We're in Cape Cod. And when we got there, especially in the summertime, but all year round, it was now the time for fun, for sailing on the sea, for good food, and great times of joy with my family. So the point of all this is we had signs all along the way to our final destination to show us, maybe not exactly where it was, but the general approximation to our final location destination, vacation land, Cape Cod. How does all this relate to us as Christians? We can't know the day or the hour exactly when our Lord is returning. We know it's the last days, but we can know approximately where we are by the signs Jesus has given us to look for. Jesus says in Matthew 24, he says, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age? And Jesus answered, going to verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not alarmed. This must take place, for the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There'll be famines, earthquakes in various places. Luke adds pestilences. And all this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. So are those signs for you to look for on the highway? Absolutely. What do we know about wars? Rumors of wars, famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. Well, according to the Red Cross, International Red Cross, in the 1900s, there were 100 million people killed in those wars. And the Washington Post, if you can believe these guys, not so much anymore, they said all the other wars of all the other centuries are but alley fights next to these all-out total wars that we've seen in the 1900s. Have we passed? Well, here's our guy. The best I can do, sorry. And I taped up a swimsuit so we didn't look naked here. This sucks. Where are we so far closing in on our destination? We're passing Mystic Seaport so far because we've seen these things already that we're to look for. The wars, rumors of wars. Famines, a third of the world is yet starving today, 4 million, unfortunately. God help us to help them. Earthquakes, used to be 645 between 1800 and 1900. Now, according to the Earthquake Information Center, they recorded last year 20,000 earthquakes across the world, 55 per day. Would you say we're getting close? Is that a sign?
Yes.
Are you getting excited as a kid driving past and seeing the masts? And then the pestilences. Of course, we've always had those kinds of things, but now we've got lab-grown diseases by mad scientists causing great trouble and stuff like that. So we've already passed Mystic Seaport, and let's say we've even already gotten to dinner and ice cream at Howard Johnson's. You'll know when the end of the sermon is, by the way, right? The second sign that we're to look for on our destination to get our approximate location, we're to look for the coming of Antichrists, a great falling away from the church, and many false preachers. Jesus says in Matthew 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise to lead astray, if with great signs and wonders, to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Lo, see, I've told you this beforehand. Then he says in 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul says, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling to meet him, don't be quickly shaken in mind or excited, because that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first, apostasy. And the man of perdition will come and exalt himself and sit in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. Antichrist, the big bad wolf. Many wolves, but one big bad wolf. Have we seen that come? Well, we confess as Lutherans for the last 500 years, the big bad wolf is already in the world, namely the Pope. He has exalted himself. In his Catholic writings, he's been called God on earth. He's cursed the gospel at the Council of Trent in the 1500s, damning to hell anybody who believes that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. He's hunted the Christians down through the centuries, but now he's kind of more of a big Mr. Nice Guy, right? But he's still, these days, what he's teaching is that all the religions of the world are the same ways to be saved. You can follow whatever religion you want. As long as you do your best, you can get to heaven. Is that the gospel?
No.
That's the false teaching. That's the big bad wolf. Let's say New Bedford and Providence, Rhode Island. We have seen false teachers, and especially the big bad one, come to lead astray. And there is an emptying out of the churches in the modern world. Happily not here so today, but in a lot of places. And I looked this up, actually, amongst mainline denomination preachers, of those who believe in a literal hell, the virgin birth of Christ, the physical resurrection, and Christ being the only way to heaven, that's less than 50%. What you're looking at then is the wolf pack, and we're looking at the big bad wolf. So we've passed Providence, Rhode Island, friends. We've passed New Bedford. We're way over halfway there. So the next thing we look for is the persecution of Christians. Matthew 24, Jesus says, "And then you will be delivered up to death, and you'll be hated all by all for my name's sake." Have Christians been persecuted? Have we seen this sign along the highway, along the road? Well, in the last century, in the 1900s, reportedly, 25 million Christians were killed for their faith in Christ just last century. And it continues on to this day. So we've passed, and are passing, Battleship, Massachusetts. Pretty close, eh? So the next thing we're told to look for is the increase of wickedness in the world. Matthew 24, verse 12, Jesus says, "Because wickedness is multiplied, most men's love will grow cold." An increased wickedness? Have we seen anything like that in our days? Oh, I don't know. A couple of years ago, the Olympics, maybe last year it was, they had this blasphemous mockery of Christ in the Last Supper as their opening ceremony. You go to a Super Bowl halftime show, it's a satanic worship service. You have the Epstein files and such things. And besides, at least the villains of yesteryear believed that there was boys and girls. Now we got men turning into women, women turning into men. It's bedlam, it's craziness. So I'd say we've seen that one too. Cape Cod and the islands, we're getting close, friends. You should be getting excited by all these things. We're almost home. The next thing we're to look for are signs in the heavenly places. Let's read that one in Acts chapter 2. Peter says, and quoting God, he says, "I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and manifest day. And it shall be that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, this is something that's maybe a conspiracy theory, but it's true. Which is all conspiracy theories, right? Vapors of smoke in the heavenly places. What is called by some chemtrails, where the planes are depositing particulates in the upper stratosphere. Bill Gates and company have admitted to doing this. Why are they doing that? Putting clouds, vapors of smoke in the heavenly places, they've said, purposefully, to darken the sun, perhaps also to turn the moon into blood, but it is a darkening of the world. It's depressing and scary to some, but I get excited. I'm like, you know what that means to me? "Behold, I'm coming soon. Hold fast to what you have so that no man may seize your crown." You're already in a buzzard today. Hooray. We're almost there, friends. Don't let that bother you. God is in charge. Then, what we see, one more here. This is besides all these, look at the big picture. How old is the earth, do you think? According to scripture, a little over 6,000 years old. According to wacky, nutty, crazy professors, about 4.6 billion. We're not going with them, we're going with God's word. And he's taught us that from the beginning of creation to Abraham, about 2,000 years. From Abraham to Christ, about 2,000 years. From Christ to us, about 2,000 years. That sounds quite symmetrical, don't you think? And along with that, consider this. AD was set up, Anno Domini, 2026, how we count our calendars, was set up by Dionysius Exiguus in 525 AD. He set up how we count our years, going back to the time of Christ, supposedly zero. Guess what? He was off by 4 years. That means the year 2026, where we are right now, is really 2030 in real time, if that's a miscalculation. And that means that when Jesus began his ministry, he was about 30 years of age, which means 2,000 years ago, this very year was the year Christ started his ministry on earth to save the world. Isn't that amazing? This is the anniversary of the 2000, this year, of the start of his ministry, and in about 3 years, 2029, 2030, the 2000th anniversary of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. And pretty much, these things happened in 2000s. I'm not saying I know the day, I'm not saying I know the hour, but I'm seeing signs, friends, for exit 11 off the Mid-Cape Highway, Fleming's Restaurant, and indeed, Capo Cove Beach, the lighthouse. I'm only a half a mile from home, by the way, I estimate it. And so, what's going to happen when Christ comes back? Friends, this is what the scriptures declare. There'll be a great trumpet sound from an archangel in heaven. Christ will break through, down through the clouds, parting the sky, coming down like lightning to judge the earth. He will send out his angels to separate the righteous from the wicked, the good from the bad, the Christians from those who have not believed, from the ready to the unready. Then he will bring his judgment down upon them. To the good, to the Christians, the king will say to those at his right hand, come and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Ultimate vacation land, friends. But to the wicked, to those at his left side, he will say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And then they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So what we're heading to, friends, is ultimate vacation land. And by my estimates, we are right in the very edge of that forever, happily ever after with our Lord. And we're not heading ultimately to just sunshine and sailing on the sea and good food and great times. We're heading forth to this, says Peter, according to God's promise, we are waiting for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. So friends, let's be alert. Let's be ready to go in at a moment's notice, because he's coming and he's coming soon. Behold, I'm coming soon. Blessed are those who are found awake, that they may enter the city by the gates. Friends, salvation's nearer to us now than when I started this message. And the darkness is passing away, says John. The true light is already shining. Jesus, the morning star, is in the sky, and the Son of God is about to break into this world with glorious light for a beautiful, happily ever after with our God above, whom we'll see face to face in the new world, into joy everlasting. Therefore, God, keep us for that day. Keep us for that kingdom, and keep us for that king, now and to the day of his coming. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called, How Far Are We From Jesus' Second Coming? I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg LeSeer. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at Christ Lutheran Church, CapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.